going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEI.
The New England Patriots liked Will Campbell. Tackle. LSU.
Okay.
God, that is, sorry.
Here we are again.
All right. Quite like last year when you guys were jumping around belly bopping each other.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
They were not thrilled last night at the all-night draft party
here
on
WEEI. You know, I had had the pleasure of hosting two all-night draft parties the last 2 years, and the first round reaction was much
sick
different.
Brag,
thank
bro.
You, Nick. Thank you.
Late entry.
The Christian Gonzalez draft, we were all fired up.
Well,
we were initially mad.
I was going to say, that year I was listening live, and you were not fired up at the trade back.
Trade back? No, so we were mad because we all wanted Gonzalez.
It was quite a roller coaster.
How about us being smart and ahead of the curve? We all wanted Gonzalez on the show. They traded down a couple spots. We lost our minds thinking they weren't going to get him, and then they did. That was Bill Belichick playing chess when everybody else was playing checkers, Jones. So we were excited about that.
It was Bill telling you he didn't love Christian Gonzalez,
probably.
But whatever.
Yeah,
keep going.
No, most likely.
Yeah.
But they got him.
Yeah.
And so we were excited about that. And then last year they got Drake May. It was fairly obvious they're going to get Drake May, but we're still excited they finally pulled the trigger on their quarterback. This year, also pretty obvious. We were talking about the betting markets. The first four picks were, you couldn't even really bet the other way.
Campbell finished somewhere around minus 500 last night,
yeah,
I think.
It was insane. And even parlaying the first, although if you parlayed the first five picks together,
wouldn't have hit.
You would have lost.
Yeah.
Because they were staying.
Genty was the favorite to go fifth.
He ended up going sixth. But yeah, I think we went into it for a couple of weeks being like, it's going to be Campbell. And then nothing changed. And then night of, they ended up drafting Will Campbell. And so those guys were obviously a little eh. But we had Shimon yesterday. And his reaction was like mine, maybe a little bit worse than mine, where we were asking him all these different players, like, what would your reaction be? And he's like, okay. Like, Campbell is the hard guy. Like, I know you hate it, and some people now are trying to convince themselves that they love it.
Oh, yeah, let me update those numbers.
I feel like it's a more middling one, though, because it's not an exciting position, and then there is the fear in the back of your mind that he might not even be playing that position.
Shim said, eh. Okay.
Right.
Is what he said.
Right.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I said it was, I thought our vote was pretty appropriate.
Our love it, hate it?
Yeah, no. So pre-draft, our love it, hate it was 54% hate it, 46% love it.
No, higher, 56.
Oh, 56.
56% hated the Will Campbell selection. That has a
turn. 66 love. No, I'm serious.
56 to 40.
Doesn't add up at all. But that was, I think, so the majority wasn't like overwhelming like some of the other votes were, but
no,
it was like more people disliked
more people
it.
Hated yeah. it than loved it.
Yep.
But yeah, it's all right.
Let me give you the update again from the Greg Hill Show. They put out a poll question today.
Yes.
Do you hate or love the Will Campbell selection now that he is a Patriot? It is borderline unanimous. 85% now love it. It's a neat little trick they pulled.
Wow.
Different show.
Yeah.
Different listening audience. Maybe that's a tainted sample. Maybe we do need to ask it to our own audience, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
But that is very interesting.
And
now that he's officially on your team, that just changes like that.
For the people who love it, this is what I would say. Just, you can't also love it if he's a guard. And you can't love it because you know, you just ignore like the arm length thing. And I know the arm length thing has been talked about so much, but the reason why it's been brought up is because there aren't any left tackles.
Since you brought that up.
With those measurements. That's why we're bringing it up.
This text drives me nuts. 617-779-7937. Same as the phone number. Guys, can we please stop with the idiotic logic of short arms? How can anyone be so stupid and ignore an entire human being and focus on arm length? Well, the reason why is we get... Did you just hear the Giardi stat we read you?
Yeah, so no, there aren't any starting left tackles that measure this.
Guys thing. With these measurements right. Do not play left tackle in the NFL.
So could he be the Muggsy Bogues
yes.
of left tackle?
Right, he could.
Maybe.
Yeah, and you're very consistent in saying
that's
that,
my
Keith.
Thing. Maybe he'll be the one of one.
So, Texter, Keith points this out every single time, but it would need to be borderline unprecedented in recent NFL history. Guys with these measurements do not play, they hardly play tackle in the NFL, even right tackle. Forget left tackle. So, like, we're not just dismissing the entire human being. We're just looking at a large sample, 160-whatever offensive linemen. And none of them were left tackles.
Yeah, no. And most of them aren't tackles. Most of them, and if they are, they've been moved to right tackle. And even then, the wingspan might be bigger or whatever. So I understand, like, it's been brought up a lot. But it's not like, well, you know, only 10% of or, you know, 20% of. No, none. There are none like it. He would be the unicorn. He would be the Porzingis. He'd be the unicorn of this situation. That's why he keeps getting brought up. And then also, if he does move to guard, I don't want anybody to be like, where'd this come from?
Well,
this is out of nowhere.
No, we've been trying to tell you for months and months. I think we were telling you he might be a guard in the middle of the college football season. Long before we knew where the Patriots were drafting and the season was over, it's like, yeah, people like Will Campbell, he might be a guard. People like Banks, he might be a guard.
So exactly. Like, he's not alone in that. And that's why they didn't draft Campbell over Joe Alt. There is no Joe Alt in this draft. That was also Shime's point yesterday. And I applied that same logic to receiver. Like, Tet McMillan went 8. Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas all would have been drafted ahead of Tet McMillan.
Maybe McConkey.
I mean, certainly in hindsight.
I mean, Odunze.
Roma Odunze. I always forget him. He was not
like amazing as a rookie. He 100% would have gone before McMillan.
And just like Joe Alt, we would have had less questions. It wouldn't have been super exciting, but it would have been like, all right, you got your left tackle, you got Joe Alt. This year was different for those positions. It was a couple of left tackles that might play guard. It was a couple of right tackles, and then it was a couple of left tackles coming off an injury. That was basically the pool. A lot of them got drafted last night. A couple guys got pushed down that'll probably go early tonight.
So, again, more texts like this. 2,500 snaps at LSU. At left tackle, stop. Do you know how many guys were college tackles and had to move to guard?
Allie Marpet. Hobart's own left tackle. He was just mauling guys up there in the Liberty League.
People love Logan Mankins. Logan Mankins was a college tackle who had to move to guard. Now, he's a great guard.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no, it happens all the time.
He also was pick 32, and, I mean, there's a million guys who have to do that. Mm-hmm. So just because you played it in college does not mean you're going to play it at the next level. And furthermore,
Julian Edelman was a quarterback.
Good one. Furthermore, I don't know, did you see oh, God. Well, did you see Matt Chatham's tweet today, Keith?
Somehow missed it.
Chatham wrote an opus today.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, God, do I miss the 120 character
limit? Yeah, put the cap back on.
I don't know why I got sucked into it. But Chatham wrote an opus
today.
So
he throws the $8 a month at Elon Musk so he can write these novels?
Apparently.
This is money well spent.
But people are like, well, yeah, he had all these starts. It never showed itself at LSU. Wrong.
Not right.
He didn't give up a lot of sacks at LSU. He gave up 18 pressures and had 9 penalties last year, the second most among 2025 NFL draft tackle prospects. So the idea that the arm length didn't come into play, well, it may not have led to sacks at the collegiate level. I know it's the SEC in a high level, but you're going against bigger, faster, stronger at the next level. Do those pressures turn into sacks in the NFL? And do the 9 penalties had in a short college season turn into 20 of them or whatever at the next level?
You got to use all this stuff. That's why, you got to obviously use the game tape. You got to use what they do at senior bowls and combines and pro days. You got to use it all together to project forward. Because, what did Mac Jones look like as a college quarterback?
Yeah.
The guy was slicing it up and down the field.
He was awesome in the SEC. It was the SEC.
He dominated.
So good.
He dominated. So, a lot of guys dominate in college. It's tough to look at that part of it. And that's why, because people will make it it's dumb to do all these different measurements. They do it for a reason. And then you get to look at side by side all the comparisons against all the guys that came before them. And I don't know. I'm not throwing that away. But I'm also not ruling out the fact that maybe he still could be good.
I'm not ruling out that all you guys seem to hate this pick last week, and now you all love it, is perplexing to me.
Yeah.
You preferred...
It should not be perplexing.
You preferred Campbell. You preferred Hunter, who we're going to get to in a moment. I'm sorry, you preferred Carter, rather, and Hunter.
Well, those guys...
Those guys weren't available. Yeah. You also preferred Jenty and Warren on our metrics, but all of a sudden you love the pick, which is interesting. So you can jump in all day long on Will Campbell. We got the Friday 4-pack coming up at 11:30. Your phone call is 617-779-7937. We'll give you the full breakdown of hate it, love it coming up at 11:45. Speaking of Travis Hunter, Keith, which, as I've been told, is apparently a more difficult name to pronounce than I
realized. A couple guys have had a problem with
Shimes it. Had an issue with it. Apparently there was an issue on the draft program last night as well. Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
The Jaguars move up from pick 5 to pick 2. The Browns move back. I would boil the trade down to this. You tell me if you disagree, because there was a lot more in it. The Jags had to give up a second this year and a future first to move from 5 to 2. That's pretty fair, right?
Yes.
Should the Patriots have done that?
Too much. No, I love Travis Hunter.
Even for Travis Hunter, who, by the way, it's come out today, they're going to start him. They're going to play him at both.
He should.
He talked to both coordinators, but they are going to start him with the receiver group. That came out today.
Yeah, because now you don't have pick number 38, which I still think you can get an impact player. And then I don't know how you're going to finish next year. So that could also be a pretty high pick. So you don't have next year's one and your next pick this year. So you'd still be looking for a left tackle, maybe. And then, like, where do you get your left tackle? Right, like, at least right now they're saying it's Will Campbell. You wouldn't have a pick until the third round, and you don't have next year's one. So that to me would have been pretty steep, as much as I love Travis Hunter. You know, and maybe, I mean, they're only moving down to 4, so maybe you have to give up slightly less. But, you know, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I think you would have had to get,
pretty much the same.
Maybe when you get into the 6th round picks and the 4th round picks that swap teams, maybe there's one less pick swap. That's why I just boiled it down
to. No, that's fair.
You're giving up,
would you have done that?
You're giving up 38 and a future first. I wouldn't have, but here's what I'll tell you. That was less than I expected for a move like that. And I think that does speak to, this was a year to move up if you really liked a player. And
that's still a lot, because they didn't go. They still got to pick 5th, and they're getting next year's one. So
I know, but it's the difference between Travis Hunter and Mason Graham. That's a big difference.
That is.
It's the player that you love versus a player you hate.
But it's
so,
also,
I mean, that to me is a massive difference to pick up an extra second and a future first.
But it's not just Travis Hunter, Mason Graham. It's gonna be Travis Hunter or Mason Graham, who they get tonight at 36, and who they get next year probably in the top 10.
Right. It's also the Browns. You trust them to draft?
No.
So, me neither.
Do you trust the Jaguars to do anything right? I mean...
No, fair point. Who do I trust more, the Jaguars or the... I probably do trust the
Jaguars.
That Jaguars
GM, like 20 years old?
Oh, he's super young. Yeah. But they just got Brian Thomas Jr. last year.
No. And I like Travis Hunter. No, I think that was, you know, that was an aggressive move. I respect them for doing it. I just, for the Patriots and how far they are away and how many things they need, I don't think I would have done it. I also, real quick,
at a position that's not of need, I agree. If it was somehow there was a Malik Nabers in this draft, there was a Joe Alt in this draft, and you had to move up to get him, I would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
You can't move up just for the best player on the board, one of the few blue chippers in this draft, and not address a need.
You know what I also saw?
That would be too much.
What I saw a lot of last night after that trade from a lot of people was like, oh, thanks a lot, Gerard Mayo. Wrong. Thanks a lot, Robert Kraft. Why would Gerard Mayo want the number one pick? He's not coaching this team. Mm-hmm. Gerard Mayo, like Lovie Smith 2 years before, if you're going to fire the guy 10 minutes after the game, you should have fired him 5 days before the game and made sure you lost. So for everybody that's mad that they don't have the number one pick, I'm with you.
Kick it upstairs.
Don't be mad at Gerard Mayo.
Good point.
Why on earth would he want the number one pick? He doesn't get to pick it. He doesn't have a job anymore. Right. He was going to be gone anyway.
He should have been fired before the game.
Robert Kraft should have manipulated that so they had the number one pick, and then you could have traded whatever you wanted, probably to Tennessee, move down a slot or two, get Cam Ward or for Travis Hunter or whatever.
You might have been able to move down twice.
Here,
Tennessee, come up and get your player. Hey, Jacksonville, come up and get your – you might have been able to do that twice.
But that's on Kraft. That's not on Mayo. That was the dumbest thing
Completely
I saw.
Fair.
I saw
right.
a bunch.
There was a ton of that on social media last year.
What are you guys talking about?
Well, my reaction was, where have you guys been? Of course. This happened months and months and months ago.
Obviously, we're pissed that they're not picking one. But like you're blaming the wrong guy.
Great point.
Yeah.
So look, unless you think Travis Hunter is a stud receiver, and I have questions about that. You're more sold on
him
as a receiver than me.
I think ideally like a number two, but yeah.
The Patriots shouldn't have moved up. I might be in the minority on this. I don't think that was the haul some others did. And I thought it would cost the Jaguars more to move from 5 to 2. But again, I don't view him as a pure receiver. If you think he's a pure receiver and he's going to address a position of need, receiver or tackle, the Patriots have two. I'm not even sure they addressed their need with Will Campbell last night. I think it would have been worth moving up, but I'm less sold on Hunter as a receiver. 617-779-7937. You could jump in here on that move. Should the Patriots have done it? What do you think of Will Campbell? Just a quick one, Keith, on Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Still available on day two. You, for a long time, thought he was going to go very highly in the draft, as
oh
did
my God. I thought he was going to go 2 or 3.
I certainly thought he was going to go in the first round last night. I was shocked when Pittsburgh didn't take him at 21. Your thoughts on his slide and why it's happening?
So I always think there are dumb teams that overdraft quarterbacks, and that really didn't happen. Like, I don't know if Cam Ward is in a vacuum, like, the number one overall pick, but need, whatever, he was probably the best quarterback in the draft, so he goes one. Jackson Dart, I wouldn't view as a first-round pick personally, but he goes in the first round, team need. I am surprised Sanders, because I thought either he was the second-best quarterback in the draft or maybe third, but he would still go in the first. And the fact that a team like the Saints didn't have to trade up and could have just taken him, or a team like the Steelers didn't have to trade up and could have just drafted him. Now, there has been one kind of theory out there. I don't know if you subscribe to this.
Oh, I don't know.
I heard this on the internet. If a team that kind of stinks, if a team that kind of stinks drafts Shedeur Sanders, let's say
this is a good theory.
So then, like, let's say he plays with Brian Daboll for a year with the Giants, and I know they got Dart, but just play it out. Say he goes there, and they kind of stink. They blow Daboll out. They bring in his dad.
Right.
So if you're a coach and you have any say in the drafting, you're like, do I want that guy? Because his dad's probably going to replace me.
You're inviting Dion to replace you.
Now, it might be up to the GM anyway, and he's like, I don't care. But if the coach has any say at all, why would he want to coach Shedeur?
Well, and the way I've said it is, the way I've seen it, rather, is everybody outside of Tomlin, and I disagree with this, but this is how I've seen it written, Tomlin would be okay with that because Tomlin's comfortable in his job security, which I wouldn't be there in Pittsburgh.
You haven't won a playoff game in forever.
But he's one of the few who would be comfortable in doing that. No, so to me,
it is surprising.
The reason he dropped from what I've read up on, and that's a good conspiracy theory, Keith-spiracy, is he interviewed poorly. And basically, I heard Breer talking about this last night. You know, almost intentionally, because they were so intent on where he would wind up and trying to steer him to a specific...
He threw a couple interviews.
Well, he just didn't take them seriously, or he was turning down interviews, and then the ones he wanted to nail, he didn't. And...
Weren't there some teams that you thought might take him because they need a quarterback, but they didn't even speak with him at all?
That's what I'm saying. He was I don't want to go there. I'm not going to go there. I'm trying to steer where I'm going to.
And he's probably not good enough of a player to be the headache.
Correct. And he blew the few good interviews that he had. Apparently the one with the Giants, NFL Network has been all over this. Pelissero, rap sheet. Breer had more of it. I was watching him on NBC Sports Boston last night. It was some of the worst. I mean, the way it's been reported, some of the worst interviews that these teams have experienced.
Yeah, but I also look at that and I say, all right, well, he didn't want to go to that team.
Maybe.
But also, like, well, what team do you want to go to? And then, like, are you threading the needle, like, to, like, is there only going to be a couple of teams? And then if they don't want you, then what happens to you?
So, I also think...
Do you think he's...
This is like Will Campbell in reverse. I'm not saying the interview doesn't matter and the attitude doesn't matter. The reverse Will Campbell.
Yeah.
But, wow, look out. But I just... I think Shedeur was a good college player. I don't get it. I don't get how you would possibly watch him and Jackson Dart and say Dart's the better QB. So I think people are putting too much emphasis on his personality, his interviews, and not enough on the tape.
Do you think he's the next quarterback taken?
At this point, I don't know. I would bet on it, but like it could be Shuck.
It could be Jalen Milroe.
Could be Milroe. Yeah. And I like Milroe. I don't prefer Milroe to Sanders, but I like Milroe.
Do you think people would be shocked by this slide if his last name was not Sanders?
Yes, I would be.
Yeah, just because I think there was a consensus throughout the year, the college season, I mean, that he was the second best quarterback, right?
Yeah, he's a much bigger story because he's Deion's kid. I get what you're asking, Nick, but I would be shocked regardless of his last name.
He was fine. He wasn't great.
Besides Mel Kiper, whatever, there's a whole story there, I guess, but besides Mel Kiper...
Deion's paying him.
Yes, everybody else is overall pretty down on him, though.
Well, no. I thought watching on ESPN last night, and they kept bringing Kiper... I know you're watching NFL Network. It's probably the right move.
I did, yeah.
I watched ESPN. Lou Riddick is on Deion's payroll. It's honestly embarrassing.
So two guys like him.
It's embarrassing. Like, he was just... And I like Shedeur, but it was embarrassing how far he was going with it. So, like, Lou Riddick and probably Kiper are on the Deion payroll. But
Joe Klatt, is it Joe Klatt?
Yeah.
So he went to Colorado, and so he, at the end of the night, had this whole long thing about, like, how great Shadur is. And, like, basically, it's like, are we supposed to feel bad for this kid? And so he's going on and on and on. And then they're like, hey, Daniel Jeremiah, do you have anything to add? He's like, yeah, like, ditto to that. And then he's like, but then he, like, basically, like, I don't think he loves him as a prospect, because then he was like,
I disagree. I read a lot of Jeremiah. I think he thought Shadur was a first rounder.
Okay.
I mean, he had him, I think, 18, 19, 20 on his big board, but something
Klatt
like that.
Basically painted him out to be like this perfect prospect.
Well, yeah,
and
he's
then,
not that.
And then he was like, well, no, it's amazing because he's not super athletic. Like, the son of Deion Sanders, you would think, would be insanely athletic, and yet Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, like, those guys are insanely athletic.
Oh, Dart's way more athletic
way
than Sanders.
Way more. And so, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Sanders. I don't know if there are teams that just aren't on his board. But you look at it tonight, the early picks, Browns have two of the first four picks. The Browns still need a quarterback. So do they go?
Well, part of the logic in their move last night from Schefter is they might just be, and this would be smart, the quarterbacks stink in this draft. We're just going to wait till next year and try to get a quarterback in a better quarterback draft. Maybe. They now have two first-round picks.
Kenny Pickett's going to get him Arch Manning.
Well, they got Flacco, dude. That's eight games there.
Kenny Pickett's going to get him Arch Manning.
I guess. I mean, you look at it. Is Arch even allowed to go pro?
Yeah, it'll be his third year.
Good question.
But he might not declare.
Can I give you one more that I loved last night? Brady drafted Genty. That's a fun one to compare and contrast.
He wasn't even in the room.
Well, Brady's running things in with the Raiders, supposedly, allegedly.
He probably gave him a list of names.
Maybe not.
Take this guy, I'm out.
But if you believe Brady's running things with the Raiders, and I do, it's what I've been told. Or I've heard, anyway, not been told personally. But you hear that about the Raiders.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Like the Brady's.
Scoops over there that we don't
know. No, I got no scoops.
Joe's been on his phone this whole commercial break. I don't know who he's talking to.
Brady's running things with the Raiders, so Brady drafted a running back. So everybody who says running backs don't matter and they're not worth a high pick, then you disagree with Tom Brady, and let's see who wins that one. Let's just see. Maybe you're right, and Brady's a moron, and Brady doesn't know how to run football ops. Or maybe Brady has a good idea. We're going to find out. There's fun stakes to that one, which will be a good compare and contrast.
Yeah, there's as many running backs as there was quarterbacks in round one. Kind of surprising.
Yeah, I was surprised where Hampton went. I guess I wasn't surprised that he went. I was surprised he went to the Chargers. But only two running backs in the first round. 617-779-7937. If you missed our top remaining players that we want from Jones and Keefe, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. Speaking of running backs, Keefe had two on his list. We'll get those out on social shortly at Jones and Keefe, our top five remaining players that we want tonight at Call It Pick 38. And it's a Friday, which means we have a four-pack of questions right after Trending with Bridget Prue.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. A lot going on around the sports world tonight. We have the Sox, the Seas, NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, and the NFL draft continues tonight. Last night, the Patriots selected LSU left tackle Will Campbell in the first round with a fourth overall pick. Rounds 2 and 3 are tonight at 7 p.m., where the Patriots currently hold the 38th, 69th, and 77th picks. If you have thoughts on Campbell or what the Pats should do with the rest of the draft, call 617-779-7937 to give your opinion on that. The Red Sox head to Cleveland to start the three-game weekend series against the Guardians. Tanner Houck gets the start for the Sox tonight opposite the Guardians' Ben Lively. First pitch with Will Middlebrooks and Cooper Boardman is at 710 across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. And don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 610 with Christian Arcand. Game 3 between the Celtics and the Magic is tonight with tip-off at 7 p.m. in Orlando. Jrue Holiday is listed as questionable with a right hamstring strain, and Jason Tatum is listed as doubtful for the second straight game due to that bone bruise on his right wrist. Joe Mazzulla saying that it is a severe bone bruise. And the NHL playoffs continue tonight. Former Bruins doing pretty well so far. Marchand and the Panthers up 2-0 in their series against Tampa. Brandon Carlo and the Leafs are leading their series against Ottawa 3-0, and Charlie Coyle and the Avs hold a 2-1 series lead over the Dallas Stars. Trending now brought to you by Jackson Lumber. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber in Millwork for all your residential remodeling and commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber in Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Bridget Prue, and that's what's trending now.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
we get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
What's in today's Friday four-pack?
Friday four-pack, Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll get you our final results, hate it or love it, coming up at 11:45. We'll get back to your phone calls as well. A lot of you waiting patiently, which we appreciate. But what is our first Friday four-pack question today, Bridget?
All right, let's talk more NFL draft. What was your favorite pick from last night?
All right, mine was, in part, was because where they were at. They're in Green Bay, so the Packers pick at 23, and they take wide receiver Matthew Golden out of Texas, who was a part of my plan yesterday. Remember my Pats first round in 60 seconds involved a trade back in to get Matthew Golden. So I like him. But on top of that, they had not drafted a receiver in the first round in Green Bay since 2002. Meaning the entire Aaron Rodgers era, they never drafted a wide receiver. And it became like a point of contention. I don't think they drafted an offensive player in the first round while he was there, well, except for Jordan Love.
Well, yeah, maybe offensive lineman, but not skill players.
I don't
for
even
sure.
know.
It no? might,
yeah, double check me. Definitely not wideouts, running backs, or tight ends. Like, but I don't even know. I think it was like all defense the whole time Aaron Rodgers was there until they drafted his replacement. And then a couple years after he's gone, they draft a wide receiver. Plus, I think that's good. And like looking ahead to like fantasy, I think that's great news for Jordan Love. I think it's good news for even Matthew Golden.
You kind of wish Bill just took a page out of the Packers playbook. It's like, hey, let's not draft a receiver for two decades and see how that goes.
Two straight decades.
That would have been okay. I think my actual favorite pick was Ashton Jeanty, but I just gave you a quick overview on that. I love that it's Brady. And I just think that's interesting to watch. Is he going to thrive there? The value of a running back is a good talker. And Brady believes in it. So how's he going to play in Vegas? Is he right? Are you guys wrong about the running backs? Or is this another bust? Tyler Warren, though, will be my answer here. I can't believe he fell to 14. I can't believe he went after Colston Loveland out of Michigan. He went number 10 to the Bears. And you make a good point. Ben Johnson likes him. So, I mean, I'm sure for fantasy I'll be in.
Well, because they were saying
but Loveland, I question that.
Loveland's more like Laporta than Warren is. And so maybe that's what Ben Johnson was thinking, too. I don't know. But, yeah, that's going to be one to keep tabs on. You know, both Mike Vrabel in year one, Ben Johnson in year one, both getting guys that they want, it looks like, but also passing up on guys that play the same position like right after.
Yeah, easy to comp it.
Yeah,
right. Like
we're gonna
comp Campbell to Membu and Banks.
Yep.
And look, if I need to, I'll go all the way down to Josh Simmons at pick 32.
Right.
Those two should be comped to
same
one another.
Bears,
but I can't believe Tyler Warren got out of the top 10. I'm very surprised he got past the Jets at 7. He would have been in play for me at pick 4. So that was a great pick, and a team that was linked to him a lot in the pre-draft process as a trade-up in the Indianapolis Colts at 14. What else do we have, Bridget?
All right, let's go to the NBA. What is the best NBA first-round series, in your guys' opinion?
All right, I think it has to be Knicks-Pistons, doesn't it? Now, it was a crazy finish last night. Knicks win by 2. They have a 2-1 series lead, but that one's pretty good.
That also would be my vote. Warriors and Rockets are interesting. I think Nuggets and Clip last night was a blowout. But Nuggets and Clippers should be an interesting one, too. I also would vote New York and Detroit. All the games have been close. Detroit has a good case to be up 3-0 in this series, as does New York. So there are like these wild swings in these games. It's also the Celtics' next opponent, which is just an interesting factor in it. I think that's probably the most interesting first-round matchup for a lot of reasons.
See what happens with Rockets-Warriors, right? Like, that's a 1-1 series, as is Lakers-T-Wolves.
That's true. Maybe I should give more thought to that. The thing with the Rockets and Warriors, and I'll be consistent on this, if Butler misses a game with a butt bruise, that's soft.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think Jimmy Butler's soft.
No, I thought it was a pelvic bruise.
I thought it was a butt.
That's
could be the same thing, depending on how
pelvis
you
and it. Pelvis
Bridget,
and butt.
Is it really now?
It?
Okay.
Your pelvis is on both sides, right?
Is it?
I don't know.
I didn't go to nursing school.
Hold on.
I thought it was a tush bruise there is what
you
I thought
it was. Tush
yeah.
A deep glute muscle contusion.
Oh, you're right.
Butt bruise. If you're missing a playoff game for a butt bruise, you're soft.
But when
soft,
you left the game, they announced like pelvic contusion, which I was like, that was my nickname in high school.
NBA.com
We'll see what happens. But yeah, if he's out, then that obviously hurts their chances. And you were just hyping him up as one of the few tough guys in the league.
It's true. What did you call the Butler injury initially?
I thought it was a pelvic contusion.
Nasty.
Yeah, that is. There's no doubt about
that. NBA.com just says it's another way of saying a really bad butt bruise.
Thank you. It's a butt bruise. Got it. You can't be missing. I think Jimmy Butler is tough. I hope Jimmy Butler plays for that take. If you're missing for a butt bruise, I'm so that is
you're better off.
Tatum has some soft company.
Tatum's injury is worse.
Tatum's injury is definitely worse.
Shooting wrist,
your wrist
versus your keister.
Yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. They're both soft, but a bruised tushy, it's not really no contest.
I could see like if you were like an e gamer and you had a bruised butt and you're like I sit to play the game like
just get a donut.
No. Our job
would be tough. You'd be out, like I'm 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not showing up. With
but like
a bruised
you get
butt.
To play on your feet. You get to run around. That's a weird one.
Yeah, but he can't sit on the bench. He can't sub out.
Just stand. No, he's used to playing for Thibodeau. He'd play 48 minutes a night. He doesn't need to come out.
Do they play tonight? No, that game is tomorrow
night.
So Butler has two games off to heal his bum. I would hope he plays. Okay.
He's had the weirdest season ever.
Yeah.
He has had so many weird storylines connected to him this year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, his pelvis is near his butt. That's all that, too. What else do we have, Bridget?
All right. Do the Celtics sweep the Magic? They are up 2-0 in that series. What do you guys think? Are they going to just blow this raid out?
Yes.
Sweep right through.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, no,
even with Tatum doubtful again, didn't play game two, didn't matter. They got way too much. Now, I guess Drew Holiday is also questionable. They could be down 2-3 guys and still sweep the Magic. Plus, they're a great road team. So they already won their two home games. They're going to win tonight, then they're going to win Sunday, and then Monday we'll come in talking about them waiting for a round two.
Yeah. No Tatum and Holiday do they sweep.
Yeah.
Probably. That one's closer for me, I think, than it is for you, though, which surprises me.
Peyton Pritchard. So now they have five good players. The Magic still have their two.
Right, Sherman can get in there.
Yeah, no, good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. All right, you talk me into
they're fine.
It's a sweep either way.
I think they'll be fine.
What's the last question, Bridget?
All right, last one. What did you think of Garrett Crochet yesterday?
Not great. We were in the house, so I don't know if we jinxed him or not.
Speaking of playing through something.
Sick brag, bro.
I'm still battling heartburn here today. I got heartburn like you read about
today. Is that
right?
What happened?
Those Coors. I was I don't know why I'm feeling great today. And then I'm like, I choked down a bunch of hot dogs and chicken nuggets. So that's probably why.
We're eating like kings. But
yeah, but we jinxed him. Nick was texting us yesterday. We jinxed him.
We really did. He was not sharp. He couldn't find the plate. Now, he had a pile of strikeouts.
Yeah, well, he's
kind of
people out.
He kind of like grinded through five innings. But yeah, he was not very good. I was like, they could pull this one out for him, right? They just didn't have enough offense for him. But yeah, that was his worst start of the year. But once again,
easily his worst start of the year.
But
yeah.
Maybe I'll spin a positive. Like if his worst start is five innings, four runs, you're like, okay, he just couldn't he couldn't throw strikes yesterday. It was like a big problem for him.
It was an issue. A lot of hard contact, I would say too. But his real issue and what we thought in the bill
was us.
Wildly unimpressed, and we jinxed him. I think is the real takeaway. Uh-huh. So that's the Friday 4-pack here on Jones and Keefe every Friday. Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Let's mix in a few phone calls, shall we? Let's see. Mike is waiting patiently. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hello?
Hello?
Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Mike.
I want to talk about Will Campbell.
Great.
I love that pick. Sorry, guys. I know you guys don't like him.
No, that's fine.
Listen,
that's fine. Give us why. Why do you love it?
Connor wasn't there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Hunter wasn't there.
Nope. Right.
I don't think it was off. You would give too much to trade up. So I like him because you know what? He played in the SEC.
Oh,
four years, only let up five sacks. I think the guy has heart, too. He wants to do this. And you know what? You need that. Offensive lineman, that's the most toughest position in a football game. I don't care what anyone else says. That's the only position that you play facing away from the ball. And you got to face probably the most dominant people on the field. I think this kid wants to work. I think he's going to put the time and effort in. I think he'll do it.
All right.
Loved it.
One vote for C-Rex from Mike. He's got hot.
Okay.
Is that the only position
the cornerbacks are facing?
Plays away from the ball? Yeah, that confused me. I admittedly lost my train of thought there for a second because I was trying to think my way through that.
He played 3 years there,
but he likes it. He was in the SEC.
For three, not for four.
No.
If we're just... For as far as details,
but like players from the SEC never fail in the NFL.
Certainly not with the Patriots.
No, not tackles who should be guards in the NFL like Isaiah Wynn. I mean, that doesn't happen. High level production in the SEC.
No,
I mean, look, that's not wrong.
No, I'm glad he loves it. Glad he loves it.
Yeah.
He's going to go out there. He's going to work hard.
Let's see if anybody else loves it. Kyle in Foxborough. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'd like to talk about Will Campbell. So there's this whole time saying that you should either, in the top five, you should either draft someone who scores touchdowns or sacks the quarterback. And Will Campbell is not that. In the last 10 years in NFL drafts, there's only been three offensive linemen drafted in the top five. One was Andrew Thomas, couldn't miss prospect. One was Joe Alt, couldn't miss prospect. And then the Redskins drafted Brandon Sharif,
sure,
who played tackle in college, had short arms, ended up moving to guard.
Yeah, so Kyle, that can't be right. There's only been three offensive linemen taken in the top five. That can't be right. So. Alt is one. Sheriff is another. Who was the other name? Andrew Thomas of the Giants was a bust of a pick.
So just last
was it Evan Neal four?
Just last year there was.
Yeah, I don't. His numbers.
Wait, what did he say in top five? Or where did he put the number?
I thought he said top five.
All right, so Joe Alt was fifth last year. I guess Paris Johnson was sixth the year before, so I guess that doesn't count. Okonwu from the Panthers, sixth. Evan Neal, seventh.
Oh, so
Charlie Cross, nine. So, I mean, he might be because there's a lot of Penny Sewell was seven.
So the cutoff is five. Okay. So, and, now, you
so
know
he
what?
Might be right if we're talking top five.
We questioned you.
Yeah, okay.
So Joe Alt.
In good, our face.
Joe Alt, good pick. Andrew Thomas, bust. Who was the other name? I already forgot who he said. The other name was, Sheriff, who I've referenced a bunch. It was not worth it. He was a guard. Drafted in the top five. Washington took him as a guard in the top five. I reference his name
this
all the time.
This is pretty funny. Okay. Ronnie Stanley, sixth.
So
Jack Conklin, eighth.
He's
on to something
if
here.
If you have a
Luke Jokel, like first or second.
How far did he go down? In 2014, Greg Robinson was second.
Okay, so I don't recall, but if it was since before Sheriff, then that was probably
Eric
the cutoff.
Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel, Lane Johnson were 1, 2, and 4 one year.
Nice.
Lane
so,
Johnson, Hall of Famer.
Do you agree with that premise, though? If they don't score touchdowns or sack the quarterback, they're not worth taking in the top five?
No.
Me neither.
No.
I disagree with that.
I do, because I was going to say, like, I don't think Orlando Pace was a bad pick.
Me neither.
I don't think Jonathan Ogden. Although I forget what number he was picked, but like those guys were the right call. Trent Williams was the fourth pick in the draft. Great pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think if you're a guaranteed left tackle,
right.
That'd be the only position on the O-line I would take in the top five.
Same.
But that's why this Will Campbell one's so debatable, because if he's a left tackle, I don't think it's that bad of a pick. But the second you move him inside, now I think it's a bad pick.
Same. 617-779-7937. I know Mike Vrabel disagrees. We'll play you more of that. From the press conferences last night after the Patriots select Will Campbell at pick number four. You can talk about it all day long here on WEEI. WEEI Afternoons, still boots on the ground in Green Bay for day two of the NFL draft. You can check them out at 2:00. We will wrap up. Hate it or love it. All the final numbers are in. How fraudulent is this fan base? We'll get to it next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Final day. Hate it or love it. We have the final numbers on Armon Membu, who the Patriots did not select. Fans would have preferred Will Campbell, as the results tell us here today. But basically, we did this series for exactly what came to fruition. Can you pull up the Greg Hill Show poll numbers, Keith?
Of course.
I'm just finalizing the Membu vote goes final in 1 minute. It's going to be about 75% hate that pick. But basically, we did this just to see where the fan base was at on all these players. So, for instance, the player that Patriots fans wanted the most out of the nine we threw out there was Abdul Carter. 92% would have loved Abdul Carter at pick four. He didn't fall there. So you would have loved it. Patriots couldn't have done it unless you wanted them to move up. So fine. The second player they would have loved the most, Travis Hunter, 84% would have loved. But they would have had to move up to two, just like the Jaguars eventually did last night. Maybe you think that's worth it. Maybe not. We can revisit. There were two players Patriots fans would have preferred to Will Campbell, who when we asked them back on April 16th, 56% hated the idea of Will Campbell at four.
Right.
They would have preferred Genty, and they would have preferred Tyler Warren. Slightly less hate. It was skewed on the wrong side of 50%.
Right.
49% love for Genty, 46% love for Tyler Warren, and then Will Campbell. And then the results today, I just saw them flash on Twitch real quick. Twitch.tv/BostonWEI. What is it?
As of right now, and you can still vote at The Greg Hill Show. 83% of the votes love the Will Campbell pick.
Now, I think we're convincing some people.
Loved it.
That number has dropped a little bit.
Has it?
That number, it was like 86% when we showed up to work today. So I think we're doing
Overnight, people loved it.
Yeoman's work, chipping it away, down to 83%.
They loved it.
So most people were still asleep, and then the haters woke back up.
There you go.
And then they started voting again.
Now, in fairness,
the haters slept in?
They slept in.
That was a Greg Hill show poll.
Yeah.
So it's different audiences. Maybe it's a tainted sample here,
true.
Keith.
Although, Wiggy was very anti-drafting an offensive lineman at all. So if there, Wiggy, so there were part of that show, and Shime obviously wasn't wild about it.
That's kind of an evergreen take for Wiggy. He thinks you should not really draft offensive linemen ever.
Ever draft tight ends.
In any draft. Yeah.
Tight ends. Yeah. Because they do everything.
Yeah.
They block, they catch, they can throw.
They're offensive linemen who also catch is basically what a tight end is.
Wide receivers who block.
Yeah,
that is quite a switch, but I'm not surprised. It's also why we even did the exercise.
Yeah.
Because we kind of knew it was going to be something like that.
You thought it would go from 56% hate to 83% love?
Yeah.
Okay, I did.
I mean, maybe not the specific numbers, but I thought it would be a massive spike.
I didn't think it would be that much. I expected more. I expected more out of Patriots
people
fans.
Love it. Because also, I think part of it is the hope of Carter or Hunter. And that was proven out by those polls, too, and those numbers, and how much people really liked those players. And once they weren't, it's not like you drafted Campbell ahead of one of those two. Then I think the hate number would have been a lot higher. But the only two players that people really, really, really liked weren't even there. So then at that point, you're like, okay, I guess. And that's why when we did it, I said, love Will Campbell. And the reason why I said love Will Campbell is like, I said, I don't think they're going to pass up on Carter or Hunter. And if they do, I have the right to, change my mind and then really, really hate it. But if, the consensus top three were off the board, I'll take it.
The one player I wish we asked about in retrospect was Banks. He was a late riser.
Oh, yeah.
He wound up going in the top, where'd he go, 9 to the Saints, I believe?
Yeah, but we did have Membu on there, right?
No, we did.
And nobody wants him.
And fans prefer Campbell to Membu. Yeah. 75%, poll just went final from yesterday, 75% hate for Membu.
But
so they do prefer Campbell to him.
This season and the next two seasons, the four players to watch, as we kind of compare him to Campbell, are two linemen, the two next linemen that went, and then Gentry and Warren. And sort of see like what kind of careers, or early careers that those guys have, and we'll say, all right, was this the right pick or not?
Meanwhile, I like this text, 617-779-7937. Guys, I've been hearing almost daily for 2 years. Well, some of that wasn't Keith and I.
No, can't blame us.
But almost for 2 years about how the Patriots need a tackle, and they finally take a good one, and New England fans bitch, only in New England, LOL. Well, that's the crux of the whole thing. If they got a no-brainer tackle, I don't think people would be bitching.
No, that you got to wait and see. I'm hopeful that he's a good left tackle, but there's a big debate on whether or not he's even a tackle, let alone a good one.
Right. So let's say he is, you brought this up earlier, I think it's the perfect analogy. Let's say he's Nate Solder. That is a good, not great left tackle. Did Solder ever make a Pro Bowl?
I don't think so.
My guess, off the top of my head, he was
a pretty consistent starter and then got a payday with the Giants.
And Solder, physically is a much different frame than Will Campbell. But let's say he has that type of career where he is a high-level tackle, maybe not a Pro Bowler, but a high-level tackle for his career. That's a good pick. And we'll all say that's a good pick, and we'll say, you know what? We didn't think he was a tackle. Turns out he was a tackle. We were wrong.
Yep.
But what people are pushing back on is that he might not be a good tackle. He might be a guard. And if he's a guard, that changes the equation massively because you still need a left tackle.
Yes, 7 years with the Patriots, 3 years with the Giants, had 143 career starts, no Pro Bowls, Super Bowls, but a consistent throw him out there starting left tackle, not a liability.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bust of a pick at four.
Especially now, in the 2025 draft.
Right, look at it and be like, I wish they took Genty. Maybe Membu's better. Like, we may look at it and say there was a better player taken after.
Yeah.
But that would not, if he has a Nate Solder level of career, it's not a bust. It would be a good, solid pick.
Yeah, it's almost like Ty Warren, for example. Like, when the Patriots drafted Ty Warren, he's not as good as Richard Seymour, who's in the Hall of Fame, or Vince Wilfork, who is like just outside the Hall of Fame.
Team Hall of Famer type.
Yeah, but you're like, good. Like, he was good. He was good on those teams, and he helped you. And you're not going through the draft and be like, all right, who was picked after Ty Warren? Like, yeah, there was probably guys better than him, but like that was a good pick. Like, you felt good about that. And that's why in the early going of the Belichick era, it was his first rounders hit, and like that counts. And so this is the first one in the Mike Vrabel era. So this is a pretty big one.
617-779-7937. You can jump in line. A lot of you waiting patiently, I promise. We'll get to you coming up, and we'll reset some of our leadoff thoughts on Will Campbell as the number four pick to the New England Patriots. We have thoughts on who we want the Pats to take at pick 38 tonight. Moving forward, all that comes your way next.